God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, Ash Wednesday symbolically slaps us in the face with the reminder that we're mortals, that we're going to die. That is one of the messages that Ash Wednesday brings to us. Some of us truly need that reminder, especially the young and the bulletproof among us. We're too busy living life with thirst for health and wealth and success, or at least we're very busy pursuing them, that we seldom think about death and the reality of mortality. Others of us, of course, we know too well of our mortality and our finality. We feel the pains of aging and of illnesses. We've experienced the death of our loved ones, those who are close to us, and many of us sense that our time may not be far away. So the ashes that will be imposed on our foreheads might be delivering a hard and heavy message for many of us. But these ashes will also deliver a message of hope, as those ashes are drawn in the shape of a cross. Yes, this night the ashes that will be imposed on our foreheads reminds us of our mortality. But it also reminds us that we're more than that. For it also reminds us that we are a people of faith. A faith that believes and trusts that our death will be overcome. This afternoon I was at Ditar Hospital visiting one of our members, and I was amazed at how many of the nursing staff that ran around the hospital had ashes on their foreheads. I'd like to believe that each one of them were reminded that they are a people of faith as they went about doing their tasks, their duties in caring for those who are sick and infirmed in that place. The signs of the ashes on our forehead reminds us that death is not the end for us. It reminds us that Jesus, who died on the cross, did so in order that we might rise from the dead to live everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Jesus indeed. See, this is our reality as believers in Christ. And that is also what Ash Wednesday ought to remind us of. That we are victors through Christ. We are conquerors, as the book of Revelation tells us. Now, it's been long-standing tradition of the Christian church that we are to fast or to give up something during the season of Lent. I wonder, what are some of the things that y'all have given up in the past during the season of Lent? What do you got? Sweets? Somebody says sweets? Give up sweets? Can't do that. What? Facebook. Yeah, that's good. Internet altogether. Social media, period. That's a good thing to give up, I recommend. What are some of the things? I tried in my previous congregation to try to give up church meetings for the season of Lent. We tried it. It's not a good idea, because there are a lot of things that needs to be met and talked about in the life of a church. You let that go, everything goes. That's not a good thing to do. What are some of the... Anybody? A what? Gossip. That's a good one. Yes. Nobody is giving up food. 40 days of no eating. Anybody? You know, this is a particular theme in the Bible. You know, it's one of those things, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. Well, now fasting, the giving up of food, as it is written in the Bible, it is certainly a biblical idea. It is indeed biblical. As a matter of fact, many who have practiced fasting, giving up food for a certain length of time, have attested to its benefits, both for the body and for the soul. So this Lenten season, if you're planning to fast, to give up something for Lent, I strongly encourage you to choose something that will help you, draw you closer to Jesus. Choose to give up something that will help you also experience the very presence of God. In addition, look forward to realizing what you're gaining as you're giving up something. You see, it's always a good idea to give up something to fast, but in its place, you ought to fill it with something godly, something more that will draw you closer and fill you more with the presence of God. Don't just fast for the sake of fasting. Fast with the hope and expectation of gaining something in its stead. Now, in our scripture reading from Isaiah, the Lord asks a couple of rhetorical questions of the Israelites, and thereby also asking us, saying, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourselves from your own kin?" Now, the answer to these rhetorical questions, of course, is yes, Lord. That is the fast that you choose and ask of us. However, in our pursuits of life, liberty, and happiness, we are often disillusioned to thinking that Jesus' presence is always where we think he should be. But friends, God in Jesus Christ have, as recorded for us in the book of Isaiah and in the Gospel of Matthew, they tell us differently. Sure, God visits us in our homes, but that does not mean that that's where God can be found at all times and in all places. I'd venture to say that Jesus spends Jesus would spend some time at our pantry, at food pantry on Tuesdays when we give of our food to our local members of our communities. I believe that Jesus would be found sitting among and with the homebound, the shut-ins. That Jesus will be sitting along the bedside of and holding the hands of those who are dying. You know, in my previous congregation, it was a question that was often asked of members. Where, if Jesus were to come back, where would you think he will hang out today? It's amazing how many people say, "Oh, he'll be in my office. He'll be in my bedroom. He'll be at church for sure." Of course, Jesus will hang out at church. Very few people say Jesus will be at the ER. Jesus will hang out at the nursing home. Jesus will be at the food soup kitchen. Jesus will be at the crowded bus station meeting and guiding people wherever their destination. Jesus is not always where we think that he should be. And oftentimes we'll be caught off guard when we realize that he will be elsewhere than what we expect. He'll be teaching the special ed classes in some classrooms. He'd be listening, and he'll be in the presence or in the prison yards, listening to the subtle and the gentle prayers of those who are in need of him. He'd be holding children in his arms, sitting in waiting rooms with parents who are worried. He'll be feeding homeless veterans. This may be news to many of us that God is not permanently enthroned in this sanctuary. Yes, we know that God is everywhere, that he can be, that he's able to be everywhere. He is omnipresence. But many of us think that this is the only place that we could find and experience God. That is not so. God in Christ is often found where we least expect him. God in Jesus spends more time, I think, in crowded emergency rooms and hospital rooms and in surgical rooms. He's often found in employment offices, in lobbies of police stations, not only to comfort, but to remind others of their birthright, that they're nobility, that they are the long-lost sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that he's there to remind them that they are meant for more extraordinary lives. Friends, the reality is that we cannot see nor serve and experience God without serving one another, without serving our neighbors. Our relationship with God is intimately connected to our relationship with one another, especially those who are struggling to make sense of their meager existence. God is interested in human relationship, that is for sure. And in particular, he's interested in dissolving those illusions that keep us apart, that separate us one from another. We forget we are kin, related to one another. We falsely believe that some people are simply destined to be winners and others to be losers, and that there is no way to change that reality. So we build walls and install security systems and relocate neighborhoods to keep one from spilling over into the other. One of the things that Hunt and I noticed down here in Texas is that communities are divided with fences everywhere. What's up with that? There are fences everywhere in subdivisions and in neighborhoods. Well, friends, this Lenten season, God calls us to another way of fasting. God calls us to surrender our illusion of separateness, our illusion of security and comfort. We can leave our sheltered sanctuaries and see God where God lives. Yes, God lives in our hearts, but God also lives in places that we seldom think that he would be found. He lives with the homeless, with the shut-ins, with the prisoners, with the hospital patients and staff, with treatment centers, in nursing homes, under bridges, and in cardboard boxes. And friends, we can pull our resources so that, as the book of Isaiah suggests, that we can feed and give bread to the hungry and give houses to the homeless and clothe the naked. Above all, we can learn to recognize all as our kin, folks, part of our community. To this end, the focus and theme of our Lenten journey this year is for us to do something. Yes, to do something. Now, I want to be clear. As I stated last Sunday, and I will continue to proclaim as long as I'm a Lutheran, as long as I'm a Lutheran pastor, I will continue to proclaim that the many and various good works that we do, that we do it not because we are trying to earn our salvation, not to try to make it into heaven. We do them for the sake of our brothers and sisters, for the sake and the well-being of our neighbors and our fellow mankind. After all, as I said last Sunday, God does not need your good works, and you will never be enough anyhow to save you from the lake of fire. But your neighbor does. Your neighbor needs your good work. Why? Because that's what our response is to God's good work has done for us in Christ Jesus. We respond in kind because God has been good to us. As response-able people, we're to be good to our neighbors. God has been generous and gracious toward us in Christ Jesus. We're to respond because we are respond-able people to being gracious to others. So this Lenten season, I invite and encourage you to do something. To do something for the sake of those in your life, for the sake of those in your communities, and for the sake of those who are in even out in the surrounding areas. Here is the plan for us this Lenten season. And I truly hope that everyone will participate, because that is how we will experience and see where God is at. Step one. I encourage you, I urge you, I invite you to get together and form or join a group of 3 to 10 people. Too many beyond 10, you won't be able to control what the outcome will be. 3 to 10 people from our Saviors, agree amongst yourselves that you'll remain a group for the duration of our Lenten journey. You could continue to be a group after the Lenten journey, but at least for the Lenten season, you agree to be a group. And then agree to worship together on Sundays and especially on Wednesday nights during the season of Lent, so that you can receive guidance and inspirations as we go through the season. And by the way, feel free to name your group. The more whimsical, the better, but keep it clean. Step two, after you have formed or have joined a group, come every Wednesday evening to receive challenges, to be offered opportunities that will inspire your group, hopefully, to do something. Now, with the expectation that each group will be encouraged and empowered to volunteer to do something for others. Could be for others in our congregation, but especially for those outside of our congregation, for others in the city of Victoria and the surrounding areas. As soon as your group is formed, begin to consider and discuss and plan the places and or the service opportunities that you want to do together during this season of Lent. Third step, plan and implement what your group agreed to do together. What your group agreed to do for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of others. And all of this, friends, are to be done by April 2nd, by Palm Sunday. Now, as you do something, whatever it is that you have prayed for, that the Holy Spirit has led you to do, as you do something this season, remember to always give thanks to God, first and foremost, for the opportunity and the privilege, and share amongst yourselves how you've experienced God in your serving. After all, that is our vision, our mission as a congregation, that all people will experience God. So start with you, yourselves. How are you experiencing God in serving your neighbors, in others? Then each Wednesday evening, as we gather for our Wednesday Lenten service, plan on sharing what your group did. What act of service y'all engaged in. What happened, and how did you experience God? Inspiring. It'll be inspiring to us, to the rest of us, to hear how you encountered and experienced the living God as you fasted in doing something for others. Now, there are always, in any group, somebody, or any congregation, somebody who does not like being in a group. Don't know why that is. It's stronger in number. But if you are someone who are not in a group, you are not exempted from doing something this Lenten season. I still invite you and encourage you to do something, to discern how you as an individual can serve, can fast and serve another or others, and then discern your own experience of God's presence in your serving, and come on Wednesdays and inspire the rest of us in sharing what you did. Friends, the whole point of all this is to get us to give up our comfort zones for the season of Lent, so that we may gain valuable experiences of God's presence and power at work through us, at work in us, at work around us, at work in the city of Victoria. Ask for the Holy Spirit to open your minds and your hearts to discover what needs there might be in our fair city. There are plenty, I guarantee you. And get your group to be in prayerful opportunity for that work, and see how God will work in you and through you, and share with us that experience. We'll give thanks to God for you, with you. We'll be delighted to know that you have been hands and feet, even mouthpiece of the Lord our God. Now, what's in it for you? What will you gain from giving up your comfort zone and seeking to do something for others? Well, that's what we're to anticipate and to realize this Lenten season. That's what we will see. That's what we wait upon the Lord for, to reveal to us. I will guarantee you that it will be different for each and every one of us in how we experience God in this new way of fasting, of doing something for others. But in the meantime, if you want to know for sure what the Lord our God has promised that you will receive as to what's in it for you. Hear again what the prophet Isaiah wrote in the verses 8 and following in chapter 58. If you do something for others during this Lenten season, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicators shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. That's the promise of God for us who will fast by doing something during this Lenten season. Brothers and sisters, I look forward to hearing the inspirational stories that you and your group will be doing during this Lenten season. I look forward, even as early as next Wednesday, to hear what some of you have experienced in doing something for the sake of our neighbors here in Victoria and surrounding areas. If you need ideas, if your group are stumped and don't know what to do, there are people in our congregation that can help you out, like Pam Rayleigh, who is our local community outreach person. She'll be able to point you in the right direction, the same as with Kim Pickens. There are people who work in various places that know the needs that others have and that they've been praying for someone like you and your group to come along and make their dreams come true. However it is, I look forward through the power of the Holy Spirit be guiding you to do that which will glorify the Lord our God and bring about the wellness and well-being of your brothers and sisters, your kinfolk in community. Amen.